Show. Phil Hendry.
Hour two here, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. We're online at philhendryshow.com, where truth is our bitch. And with me, Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard, and Margaret Gray. We also have a variety of guests. I don't know if we have Dr. Ron Turner this hour, our astronomer, who may check in on this asteroid, but we will tell you about an asteroid that is going to pass by the planet Earth tomorrow. And it's an asteroid that is some, NASA turned the 230-foot, 70-meter deep space network antenna at Goldstone towards asteroid 1998 QE2.
That's not Queen Elizabeth, is it?
No, I don't think so, but who knows? As it was heading toward its closest approach to Earth, and they got a big surprise, this is an asteroid that has a moon. Now, the asteroid itself is 1.7 miles in diameter, and by diameter they mean from one point through the center to another point. That's the diameter.
That is the circumference.
No.
No, I thought circumference is around.
Right. Circumference is the distance around. Diameter is from one point to another point on the opposite side through the center of the object. So that's the diameter. It's 1.7 miles from one side to the other. And I don't know what the circumference of it would be. And the newly found orbiting moon is about 600 meters in diameter, which is roughly 600 meters, 600 yards. Is that what's a meter?
It's almost a yard.
Well, it's called that 600 yards and change. And that's so 6 football fields and change, maybe 7 football fields. That's the moon. The radar images were taken on May 29th, when the asteroid was about 3.75 million miles from Earth. Radar really helps to pin down the orbit of an asteroid as well as the size of it, said Paul Chodas. Go ahead and laugh, bud.
What's he laughing at?
Name Chodas.
Chodas.
I don't understand.
Right. So Paul Chodas of NASA's Near Earth Orbit Program, speaking during a JPL. Will you stop laughing?
I got a guy called Chodas.
Take it easy. Speaking during a JPL webcast about this asteroid on May 30th, we now know our size estimates were pretty good, but finding it was that it was a binary system was surprising. So the thing has a moon, and I mean, you know, I don't know whether it means anything or not. The biggest thing that people want to know is, will it crash into the Earth? And no, it won't.
Well, I don't know that people are afraid of that, Phil.
Yeah, they are. That's all people are going to talk about.
I think that when it comes to asteroids and meteorites, yeah, people are pretty much what they're concerned with is it's going to crash into the Earth. I mean, it's ridiculous. But the paranoia that people have these days when it comes to science and what's happening in the universe and what's going on in reality is beginning to outstrip the average person's ability to understand it sometimes. I mean, you really have to stay up on some of this stuff. And it's made evident by the fact that there are people out there in the world who believe that zombies and the Walking Dead do exist.
No, there aren't. There are not.
Yeah, there are. They thought a zombie, the people that were getting zombie.
Remember when that guy ate the guy's face, all that stuff?
Yes.
There were people calling up the CDC thinking that there was a zombie epidemic. It was insane. It's completely insane. So, and what I chalk that up to is a complete lack of information that people have. And what are you looking at on TV here, Robert?
I don't know. Look like some Max Internal Training.
Get that stuff off of here. Look, when we have stuff on TV, I want it to inspire me, not distract me and make me feel sick to my stomach like the kid in the toilet bowl and the whatever else we're looking at. God.
What's wrong with this?
Some jackass who looks like... never mind. All right, so NASA said about 16% of asteroids are binary or even triple systems, meaning you've got binary, meaning two objects, a moon and whatever it is, or three. Each of the images above, and these are photographs, are snippets of about 5 minutes of radar data that you can watch a movie of if you want to. And, you know, we'll put that up on Phil TV later on if you want. But nonetheless, it's an asteroid. It's going to pass by the Earth tomorrow. It's called 1998 QE2. It's accompanied by an orbiting moon. Whatever, you know.
Well, as long as it's not going to go through the thing of it is, Phil, when it enters the atmosphere, it causes that sonic baboom, the sonic boom, you know.
You're right. It's very loud. It's very...
Yeah, it's pretty loud.
Yeah, I know, but it's not going to hit the atmosphere.
You're pretty sure about that?
I'm very sure, because they would have said something. I'm telling you right now, as far as I'm concerned, so much of what we think we understand about half of this stuff, we don't get at all, man. I'm not even sure that if this thing hit the Earth, I mean crashed into the Earth, that it would cause anything more than some fires and maybe, you know, some atmospheric problems, in maybe weather problems in the in a localized region. I don't think it's going to cause the death of every living thing on the planet, man. I'm just not buying that. We always go for the most dramatic interpretations of things. We always shoot for the single most dramatic.
Well, don't you think that's smart in light of what could happen? I can tell you, Phil.
Look at Margaret.
No, wait, no, hold on. I want to finish this. I'm a mother. Why isn't there any reaction?
Okay, you're a mother.
Yeah, your mother.
I know your mother.
Well, you're... The three of you are looking at me with a bulkhead stare. Never mind.
Well, no, you're a mother. We get it.
I'm a mother. And if I find out that an asteroid or a meteorite or whatever you want to call it is sailing toward this island Earth, as it's been called, this island Earth. Right?
Yeah? Can we get to it here?
I'm getting to it, Phil. But if I find out that an asteroid is sailing toward this island Earth...
You already said about island Earth.
Well, I'm going to say it again.
Hey.
Tell me. If I find out...
That an asteroid is sailing toward this island Earth...
And it harms my child, I will find whoever... I swear to God, someone is going to get it torn off with a hook.
Okay. Now that we've heard that nice piece of news...
It's a warning. It's a warning. It's not a threat. It's a warning.
Okay, now that we've heard that, who is going to get it torn off with a hook?
Yeah, it's about an asteroid.
Whoever is in charge with warning the planet. Don't we have a warning system? Don't we have some kind of interplanetary...
No.
What, interplanetary? You mean like with other planets?
No, not with other planets. For God's sake, Phil.
Well, what are you talking about?
Do we not have some planetary warning system where we tell the Earth people... Well,
the Earth people are going...
What, to hide in our asteroid shelters?
All right. What's that, bud?
It looks like your hand. Ah, yeah!
Yeah.
Okay, so now that we've slugged him and we don't have an interplanetary warning system and you're going to tear it off with a hook, if your son, Jason J. Delmonico, is harmed by an asteroid, what are you talking about?
I'm telling you this, and every mother listening knows this is true. If my child is harmed, I don't care if it's an extraterrestrial origin. I, honest to God, and you can laugh, go ahead, laugh. It's all right. No, that's fine. Because I'll find whoever harmed my boy, and I'll rip off whatever passes in that particular star system, whatever passes for genitals. With a gaff hook. Oh, isn't it funny?
Well, I...
That's what you talk about!
What are you saying, bud? You babble...
Margaret, you can't be serious.
Ask any mother listening.
You'll find whoever's responsible, even if it's an extraterrestrial.
You sound like you've got a coke problem when you try to talk after you've been laughing. This is what it sounds like.
Okay, I'm laughing. I'm laughing. I understand you're a mother. I understand you love your son. I understand you'd go to your death protecting him. I understand that completely. Believe me, I would never doubt you for a second. If you find out an asteroid is on its way to Earth and the only origin is extraterrestrial, you think that you're going to go and find the intelligent life that jettisoned that thing toward Earth, and you're going to rip off whatever passes for genitals in that star system with a gaff hook.
You heard me.
That's the stupidest thing I ever heard in my life. How do you know if it even started?
I'm saying in all eventualities, why don't you open up your mind and close that garbage can you got for a mouth? Open your mind up. Or whatever that is, above your eyes. And open it up, and let's see what's inside before we begin to judge me. Because you can judge me if you want, bud. But let's open up the top of your head and holler into what passes for your skull and see if the echo ever returns.
Well, Margaret.
No, I'm just...
You might as well... You want to go to the bathroom?
Yes.
Okay.
What do you mean about an echo?
You're basically saying, man, there's no end to the emptiness in your head.
Yeah, it's bullcrap.
Yeah, oh, really? Okay. She says she wants to holler into your skull and see if the echo ever returns. Probably not. All right, we're going to be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, so thank you very much for that asteroid news. That's, you know, fascinating. And we have other stuff to get to. I mentioned this, well, we already did the Google breakup story, the Street View thing, which is really, really bizarre. But toilet water now is the second part of that big two at the beginning of the show. Toilet water coffee is being used by the Hong Kong Starbucks. So if you want a really good cup of coffee, yeah, baby, Hong Kong, Hong Kong. We'll be back with that story and more on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil
Anyone
Hendry Show.
Anyone touches Jason J. Delmonico, I will get it.
I got a guy, there's a guy that hates me so much that he's like, he tries to bait me. It's this dude on Facebook, and we know who he is, and we know his name, and we know where he lives, and he's, you know, he's been outed by us, like, amazingly. How many times, I don't know. The guy is so desperate now, he's like baiting, he's trying to bait me with comments about my ex-wife and my daughter, you know? I mean, these are things you'd never say to a guy's face, and this guy never would. And I wonder what will happen, you know, when we finally get the you know, this guy is finally delivered, gift wrapped, and all of this is public, you know, his name will be public, and all of the people that he works with will know what he has done. And I don't think he's taking that into consideration. Although I think this guy actually...
Is this the guy that lives off of his parents?
I think he lives off of his parents. Yeah, his parents give him money. The guy's pushing 40. And I pissed him off because I told him you are no longer allowed to, you know, infringe our copyright. You can't just steal our material. He didn't like that. Some people are like that. They don't like to be told what to do, even if they're breaking the law. So we didn't back off. We said, well, that's what you're going to do. And we forced him. And then we outed him. We found out who he was. And we gave his, you know, we mentioned his name all the time on Twitter. And on top of everything else, we know where he lives. We know his phone number. He's hiding from us. And it's the craziest thing. This guy's stalking me, but he's afraid of me.
What are you talking about?
I mean, the guy stalks me. He constantly is posting on our website or trying to. He gives me money. He's a member of our Backstage Pass crew. So he's like giving me money. And he's scared to death of me. He's a stalker that wouldn't want to see me coming around the corner.
Well, I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't either. But that's the nature of, you know, that's the nature. Maybe it has something to do with the way men stalk each other. And I think the guy is like a closet homosexual because he's got an obsession for me that is like beyond anything normal. But the guy, you know, he's got this abject fear of me. You can just tell. I mean, I can sense how scared this guy is of me. And you've never seen, I don't think I've ever seen a situation where a stalker is in abject fear of the person that he's stalking. You know what I mean? But that's the case. And he should be, frankly.
Well, Phil, now don't get in any problems, all right?
No, it's okay. But I mean, if the guy ever showed his face, I swear to God, it would be my pleasure. He should be. He should be afraid of me. And he, you know, and he knows that. So he's never going to ever, ever come anywhere near me. But what's happening now is, as I told him in a little tweet the other day, that the wheels of justice turn slowly, but they're turning. And when the hand finally comes down on his shoulder, he's going to be really shocked. He's going to be very shocked at how public it all gets, how public his name becomes, how embarrassing it'll be for anybody that cares about him, which can't be that many people. But it'll be very difficult for him to actually work. And this has been going on for 6 or 7 years. I don't. Personally, just to let you guys know, in terms of the stalkers, I don't sit back and let that stuff happen. I go directly at those people. I don't, because frankly, there comes a time where you just stop giving a damn whether anybody. I've for 40 years, you don't think I've had people you know, coming after me for whatever reason. Oh, yeah. Lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of times. And I've learned how to deal with it. And the way to deal with it is head on, especially if a guy is baiting, you know, saying things about your daughter, your ex-wife, and things like that. So this guy who, as I said, I know his name, and I've put his name out on Twitter, and he's threatened to sue me. And I said, well, sue me then. I'd love for you to sue me. I beg for you to sue me, because if you sue me, that means you have to prove that what I'm saying isn't true, and you know that you can't do that.
Well, what if he does sue you?
That's a lawsuit I'll win. I'd be happy to mention his name right now, but I'm afraid that I've got listeners who are people that care about us and care about this show, and I'm afraid for him. Otherwise, I'd probably mention his name.
Yeah, you put it on Twitter, though.
Well, yeah, I did. You're right. To let him know that I knew who he was. But the fact is, you know, I'm a little bit more responsible than that. But, you know, this guy's, his days are numbered. But I think it's amazing because we're on the air, and this dude, he creates, I don't know how many different accounts he's made over on Facebook so he can make, like, one comment, and then he gets blocked. He makes another account, it gets blocked. He makes another account, it gets blocked.
Well, it's a little bit of a game.
It's a little bit of a game, yeah. Plus, what I do for a living, he doesn't understand, and he wishes he could do it, but he doesn't want to look too silly doing it, and he looks silly anyway, because this guy photoshopped his head onto a male model.
Is this the guy that put his own head onto a male model's body in Vanity Fair?
Yeah. Yeah. And he was serious. He wanted chicks to think that he had, like, you know, a ripped body, and we've got all those photos. We have all those photos, John, so, you know. All right, 877-876-PHIL, and online at philhenryshow.com. And tonight we actually had a little bit of an experiment. We were on philhenryradio.com. That was a lot of fun. And we actually broadcast a little bit of our pre-show on philhenryradio.com. An investigative report has angered Hong Kong coffee drinkers this week after it was revealed that a local Starbucks was using water from a bathroom spout to brew its coffee. According to an HK magazine translation of an Apple Daily report, the Starbucks located in the Bank of China Tower was using toilet water from a spout just a few feet away from a bathroom urinal. Employees allegedly wheeled a cart behind the coffee house to the bathroom dozens of times each day, filling the cart with the bathroom water. The water was then filtered and then used to prepare Starbucks drinks. A spokesperson for Starbucks in Hong Kong told HK magazine that the particular Starbucks location used the bathroom water because it was the closest source of water. The spokesperson emphasized the water had passed certification in the past and that it adheres strictly to regulatory standards. Am I missing something about a water from a bathroom? Is that...
That's what comes out of a toilet.
No, it doesn't come out of the toilet. It comes out of the same faucet. It comes from the same water system.
It comes from the same water system that the water in the kitchen...
Yes.
Okay, so what is weird about that?
It's just the fact that it comes from the bathroom, and I think people get upset.
Yeah, well, I don't know, man. You don't know it'll come out of the toilet.
It doesn't come from a toilet, I don't think.
Well, let me just read on here. I know it doesn't come from the toilet.
Now you know.
It ain't gonna come from the toilet. A spokesperson for Starbucks in Hong Kong told HK Magazine the particular Starbucks location used the bathroom water because it was the closest source of water. The spokesperson emphasized the water had passed certification. Hong Kong's Food and Environmental Hygiene Department has stated that the restaurant's practice was not up to regulations. The department has issued a warning to Starbucks. A public health professor at the University of Hong Kong told HK Magazine that filtering the water should be good enough to remove harmful bacteria, but that smaller pathogens, such as viruses, would require purifier. This is horse dung because a bathroom water spout, in other words, bathroom sink.
Yes.
The water isn't any less pure than if it was coming out of a kitchen sink. There may be filters that people put into their kitchen faucet that you're not going to put into a bathroom faucet. A bathroom faucet is something that you usually are washing your hands using the water there.
Haven't you ever had a glass of water from there?
Yeah, I've had a glass of water from there.
You're kidding.
No. What are you talking about?
You drink water from a toilet.
I didn't say toilet, did I?
Well, you said bathroom.
I said from the bathroom sink.
Yeah, all right. I understand now.
Well, what did you think I was talking about?
So we're talking about, do you take a glass and you dip it down, yes or no, and dip it down a toilet tank?
No, you idiot.
Well, that wasn't yes or no. That was no, you idiot.
Well, wait, no, I don't, and that's a ridiculous question. I said I drink out of the faucet. I don't drink. I take a cup and dip it down into the toilet tank.
Do you?
No, I don't. And I'm telling you right now, there's no difference between the water that comes out of a faucet in the bathroom and the water comes out of the faucet in the kitchen, other than the fact that maybe in the kitchen people put their own filters in there. It's the same crappy water or good water, depending upon where you get your water.
I don't know.
Well, you know what? You guys are freaking out for no reason. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com, and get a backstage pass over there, man, before they all run out. I'm only kidding. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Zane Lamprey is a TV host and television personality who has had a variety of shows centering around the art, the joy, the style, you know, the lifestyle of imbibing alcoholic beverages, liqueurs, you know, lagers, tatties, wines, you name it, you know, every kind of alcoholic, and even alcoholic drinks native to, not indigenous. Is there such a thing as an indigenous alcoholic drink?
Well, yes, if it was, if the indigenous drink was grown, you know, grew up.
Yeah, it was created.
If it's created by a person, never mind. So,
well, what I mean, yes, it was created in that country.
Okay, fine. So beer is indigenous to Germany. Anyway.
No.
Never mind. So Zane is doing a film that he's trying to get funded. He's got a Kickstarter for a film called Chug. It's actually, I think, a TV show slash film. And he's been raising money for it. And they need a certain amount of money. And they've had this Kickstarter program, which is, you know, a fundraiser, as you guys may know. And the whole idea of Kickstarter and Kickstarters is really interesting to me. It is a direct appeal. It is a direct appeal at a time when direct appeals can really make a difference to consumers for cultural or artistic funding. Or it could be funding for anything. It could be scientific. But it is a direct appeal to you and I, those of us who are online or those of us who are out there in the world, to donate money, to bring money on board. So it works. I mean, people have there was a story yesterday of a lady who wants to go and study this island off the coast of Alaska that was inhabited by native people up until about 50 years ago. And it slowly but surely lost its native population, and now there's nothing but a ghost town there. This lady found out that she's related to the tribes people that used to live there because this was a native population.
Like Eskimos and stuff?
Yeah, those are the ones that got Eskimos.
Well, I don't know if they're Eskimos. I mean, they're called the Aleut people, A-L-U-E-T, Inuit people. They're different tribes.
Well, where are the Eskimos from? That's what we want to know about.
The Eskimos or what?
Yeah, where are they from?
The Eskimos are from Alaska, you know, place and northern, the Arctic Circle.
Yeah, that's what Eskimo is.
What is it with you and Eskimos all of a sudden?
Well, isn't that the one?
I don't know where we got the term Eskimo. I know that there are people that live up there.
Who are the ones that are wrapped, they got the fur, and they live in an igloo?
I don't know, bud.
Ain't that an Eskimo?
Maybe it's an Eskimo. I don't know what an Eskimo is. An Eskimo, I thought, was a general term for any of the native people that live up around the Arctic Circle. That's what I thought. Okay? What are you guys trying to hang me up for with this, okay?
Yeah, everybody wants to know about it.
Nobody that I know wants to know about it, except for you idiots. I'm trying to discuss this thing. Anyway, the lady got a Kickstarter going, and she got enough money to go to this island and look at all this stuff.
Well, Phil, don't be a baby.
Well, you know, I'm trying to explain it, and these jackballs get me off into Eskimo land.
David's on a phone. He wants to talk to you right away.
Tell him to stick it.
David, he said to stick it. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Listen to him, will you?
Yeah. No, I didn't. He did.
Bud, don't be such a baby.
No. And Margaret just said, don't be a baby. David wants to talk to you.
Yeah, okay, I'll talk to him. Yeah, what's your problem?
I don't got a problem, but Bud said that you were giving him a hard time about an Eskimo. And what's this about sticking it?
That's what I told him to tell you, and I'm telling you directly, stick it.
All I'm trying to do is figure out... Look, man, you don't have to get tough with me. All I'm trying to do is figure out what's going wrong with the show tonight.
What's going wrong? There's nothing going wrong with the show tonight. Everything's going fine with the show tonight until this guy starts asking me...
Now, what when you say this guy, who are you talking to?
Bud.
Okay.
He says, what about Eskimos?
Well, I did too, David. I was asking about Eskimos.
All right, well, what's wrong with that?
Because I wasn't talking about Eskimos. I was talking about another kind of guy.
Well, ain't they the ones that live up there at the Arctic Circle?
Yes, but I was talking about a different kind. They're called the Aleut people, the Inuit people. I wanted to be more specific as to tribe.
Oh, well, excuse me, Dr. Leakey. You wanted to be more specific as to tribe. All the guy asked you was trying to keep this on an everyman level. What's an Eskimo?
I don't know. Why don't you look it up?
I don't want to look it up. I want you to tell me.
Well, I ain't telling you. Okay?
Hey, hold on. Turn that up. This account that I wanted to sign for... All right, anyway.
What are you listening to?
I don't know. Turn it up, baby. Yeah, listen to some talk show, some boring-ass guy. But what I was trying to tell you is this. If you can explain what an Eskimo is, then everybody's going to want to know what the other ones are. Ain't they the ones that live in igloos?
Okay, thanks a lot, David.
Oh, come on, man.
So,
Well, are they or aren't they, Phil?
I don't know who lives in an igloo. You
gotta look it up on Winklepedia.
Sure, look it up on Winklepedia? Why don't you look it up on Winklepedia, okay? I know what I wanted to talk about. This lady wanted to, and it was about a Kickstarter. That's what I was talking about. I don't give a damn about Eskimos. I don't care if they live in igloos. I don't care about none of it. All I was trying to tell you about was this Kickstarter, and forget it.
Now, what's a Kickstarter?
Yeah, there you go.
Well...
Yeah, see, he doesn't even listen. Ohio State President E. Gordon G.'s entire existence is centered on money, raising and spending, and attention, drawing it from adoring crowds and dishing it out on wealthy alums. There is little else when it comes to being the president of Ohio State or any other school. There's no denying he's brilliant at it. The guy's a walkin', talkin', backslappin', joke-tellin', bow-tie-wearin', Orville Redenbacher-lookin', his description, down-to-earth academic who can and will charm you, Mr. and Mrs. Potential Donor, right out of your checkbook. Or
your pants.
It doesn't say pants.
Well, you know.
No, I don't know.
These guys, Phil, that run these universities, he says he looks like Orville Redenbacher. And the next thing you know, your pants are off.
Yeah, that's how you get it done.
Is that right? Now we're all, you know, it's really funny, Margaret, how you will go from being very outraged by these topics.
Look, Phil, this is academia. This is important, okay? And this is something you could talk to Dr. Turner about. When it comes to raising money for these schools, these guys know how to do it. And if the guy looks like Orville Redenbacher, if he looks like, yes, Stephen Hawking, because I know Dr. Tonner's got a problem with that.
Yeah, he does.
You take a look down, give it 5 minutes, and you'll take a look, and there'll be no pants.
Yeah, you'll just, they'll have no pants as you're walking to your car.
Exactly.
As you're walking to your car.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing, you know, about that. But that's what I always say about it.
Well, I don't give a damn what they say about it. Hey, Dr. Turner, Dr. Ron Turner, we're just talking about your favorite topic, Stephen Hawking.
Oh, boy. Dr. Hawking's actually here tonight, Phil, at the seminar. He was giving a paper on the 1998 QE2 asteroid.
Oh, so did you have a chance to interact with him at all?
No, I don't talk to him. No, I don't give him the time of day because if you you give a guy like that a lot of attention, you know, he eats it up, and he becomes obnoxious, and he starts everybody holding forth with his stories coming out of that mechanical voice that I can't stand, but everybody else seems to like it.
We're talking here about Ohio State's president E. Gordon G. Ron and the fundraising that is done by university presidents. Now, I know you have worked there at University of Denver, and you're not necessarily speaking of them, but you've been at a lot of different schools, a lot of different places that need funds raised. It's been proffered here that you got to be a backslapper, you got to be a joke teller, you got to be a regular down-to-earth kind of a guy, and maybe with some kind of an act. This guy says he looks like Orville Redenbacher.
Well, I don't doubt that, and I also have rarely would I concur, I think, with an estimation by your young friend there, Mr. Dickman, which is no slab on him, but I just don't hear anything coming out of him that I would necessarily agree with. But I have to agree with what both he and Ms. Gray, when they talk about your pants being removed. I've seen some of the best. I've seen the best of the best. And when I was at Calvert University, which was the Christian university in North Dakota, we had a doctor there by the name of Lou Pern. And Dr. Lou Pern was the president and chief fundraiser for the school. And it was said that when he walked out of a meeting or a coffee, they used to have these coffees for the parents and the donors, there'd be about, oh, I don't know, 8 or 9 women following him to his car. And about half of them getting in.
Oh, get out of here.
It's anecdotal, but I can tell you he got phone numbers. And how do I know? Because I was at his house one afternoon, and I said, what is this? I picked up a book. He said, take a look. He said, go ahead. Be my guest. I opened it up. There must have been 150, 200 phone numbers, all women, all from the Fargo area.
So what are you saying?
Well, I don't...
Does he have to spell it out?
Yeah, is he going to spell it out?
Yeah, he's going to spell it out.
Well, I mean, come on, Phil. It was a fundraiser. He's got women's phone numbers.
So the guy is that much of a stud, huh? He's selling sexual favors, the president of a university.
Yeah, or he was buying them. You'd have to be stupid if you're buying them.
What do you mean, or he's buying them?
Well, I don't know. I mean, he had a lot of women's names, and he bet them at these fundraisers. I don't know if they were paying him or he was paying them.
Well, then why are you bringing this up?
It's possible that they were paying him, right?
It's possible, but he was pretty ugly. It may have been that they were just women that he was betting and had nothing to do with the money. But I was amazed at his ability to collect these phone numbers.
Well, all right. I mean, if the guy's a douchebag,
Well, I mean, if he was selling his sexual favors to benefit the school, would that make him not a douchebag?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you guys were telling me about this Orville Redenbacher-looking dude, and people walk out of there with their pants off.
Well, I don't know no one ever saw women walking out of there with their pants off or their dresses off or whatever, but they did see them, about 8 or 9 women, follow him to his car. He'd stand talking to them, and then 4 of them would get in.
4 of them?
That was a regular, almost an average.
You're talking about the guy when he's having a coffee.
Yes, he'd be having these coffees. They were fundraisers.
Dr. Lou Pern.
Yeah, at Calvert University in Fargo, North Dakota.
All right, thank you very much, Ron. Have a good time at your seminar there.
Yeah, well, they just broke up. This is the hawking thing just broke up, and so now I can get over there and get a cruller and maybe put some bread on a roll. But he was sitting there in that automatic chair of his telling jokes and everyone leaning down and kissing him, and I didn't want to go near that, but it's broken up now.
Okay, well, have a good evening.
You too.
Dr. Ron Tarner there on the fundraising abilities of at least one university president that he knows of. We'll get into this story here on Gordon G. When we come back.
Well, so what do you think about that?
The guy gave a talk and then he walked half. There's 9 women following him out and then half of those get in the car with him. I don't. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our
possible.
Bitch.
That's
the
great.
Phil Hendry Show.
Ridiculous.
That's cute.
Well, welcome back here. I have a writing partner these days. We're doing a number of different things, and we're writing a couple of ideas. And she's a great lady. She's a veteran in the television business and is working with me on this particular project. And we also talk about just personal stuff sometimes. So I just got an email from her. And she was saying, okay, Phil, here's how I think we ought to do this and that. And she was some writing that we were doing and some character stuff. And I think you should do this and do that. Now, Phil, as it pertains to the personal things you were telling me, I think that what you deserve. So she's like head shrinking me.
Well, that's too much to put on someone, Phil.
I'm not asking. I'm not, no, really. I mean, I appreciate it very much, Angela. You're very sweet. She really, it just, I had to laugh because, yeah, you're right. It is too much. And I never meant for her to But very kind of you. And but I was, we were driving, and I was, you know, has this ever happened to you? And I started talking because she was driving.
But you mean she's driving? You let the lady drive?
She wanted to drive. What do you mean, let the lady drive? Anyway, we were talking, and I just sort of said, has this ever, what do you think about this situation, that situation? And so we talked about it. I thought that was it. And now I got this email from her, and she's, and now here's how I think we ought to do this and that in terms of the work stuff, the stuff we're writing.
Yeah.
And then she said, now, as it pertains to the other thing that you were talking to me in the car, I think this is, so she's like working overtime. Here it is, a quarter to midnight on the West Coast. Angela, you're solid gold. You're a great, great lady. She's, her and her husband, worked on Lord of the Rings as, some of the team of artists that they had working on that film. You know, it's not just a live action film with actors, but there was a great deal of CGI and animation involved.
Was she down in where was it, Australia?
Yeah, I heard they shot it in Australia.
No, New Zealand.
Well.
Yeah.
No, not well.
Well, it's the same thing, right?
Is Canada the same thing as America?
No.
Well, then New Zealand ain't the same thing as Australia.
Well, we're not saying that it is, but why are you making such a big deal out of it?
Because it ain't the same thing as Australia.
Yeah, but it's, you know.
No, it ain't, I know.
Well, I mean, you said...
What is it with you guys? One minute you guys are really smart, the next minute you're as dumb as can be.
I take exception to that, Phil. You said it was New Zealand, we said, well, Australia... And you go, well, that's a real, you know, you're making a big deal out of it.
Is Canada the same as the United States?
I don't think there's any difference, no.
Well, that's dumber. That's dumber yet.
What?
They said that's dumber yet.
What's dumber yet mean?
I agree with Bud. That is dumb. There's no difference between Canada and America, huh?
Not in the way you're thinking.
What way am I thinking, man? I'm thinking that they are two different countries.
Well, I know that, but...
But what?
You know, Ms. Gray, you got to be clear on that. What do you mean?
What do you mean, what do I mean? Is there anyone out there in your audience that got past the third grade that really, really thinks there's a difference between Canada and America?
Yeah, there are.
Really? Who?
Like all the Canadians. If you don't think American, ask every Canadian. All of them past the age of third grade. All of them adults. Ask any adult in Canada. Do you think there's a difference between Canada and America? And to the person, they'll tell you yes. Believe me.
Well, how do you know that?
Because I've asked a bunch of Canadians. I used to date a Canadian.
Guy?
No, not a guy. Shut up. No, not a guy. And she was very adamant as to the differences between Canada and the United States. She didn't have anything against America. She loved America. She thought America was great. Used to come down to the States and, you know, do all kinds of stuff. But when it came to the difference between the two countries, you had a very big difference between the two countries. My folks come from Canada.
Yes, I know that. And you said your father never had an accent.
So? What's that got to do with anything?
Well, you said your dad had no Canadian. He didn't go a boot or the other one that they do. What's the other one they do?
Yeah, they do another one. They go a boot.
I already said a boot.
What do you mean the other one?
Organization. That's it. Organization. Did your father say that?
No, he did not. My mother didn't either. I don't know that that's relevant. I'm just trying to tell you that there's going to be a lot of people, Canadians especially, Americans too, that are going to tell you two different countries. Now we're talking about New Zealand and Australia. And this has got nothing to do with anything. I'm talking about my friend. She and her husband went down there and worked on the Peter Jackson Lord of the Rings trilogy as artists, as animators, as people involved in... The particulars. I'm telling you, the world of animation and the world of CGI of computer generated. What does I mean? It's not effect. It's computer image. Computer generated images. This is a world that involves a great many different kinds of artists and different things that they're working on. There are sets when it comes to animation, just like there are sets when it comes to live action. Just amazing things, the way the sky is colored, how you texture things. And, you know, you recall Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit, and the backgrounds and the images and that are just astounding. You know, you are literally transported into that world that I remember in the 70s, they tried to make Lord of the Rings, and it was a midnight movie, meaning you wouldn't see this in a theater at any time prior to midnight. I think it was that dude, Ralph Bakshi. You remember him?
Oh, that hack.
Jesus. Don't call him a hack.
His stuff sucked on wheels, Phil, I'm telling you.
That's the guy who did Fritz the Cat, though. That's pretty good.
Yeah, Fritz the Cat was awesome.
It was abs... How dare... It was porn.
Yeah, but I had like a... Fritz the Cat was always having a sex with a chick with big ones.
Yeah.
Oh, is that right? Fritz the Cat, an animal, was having sex with a human woman with big ones.
Well, I mean, yeah, but Fritz was cool. He was a cat, but he was...
He was a cat, but he was cool. So in other words, bestiality... Oh, God. God.
Oh, take it easy. It's not bestiality. Fritz the Cat was a guy. He just happened to be a cat.
You must think that I was born by the river in a little tent, and just like that river, I've been running ever since. It's been a long time coming. That's the Sam Cooke song. What am I saying?
Margaret, I don't think you're dumb. I think you're just being a little thick. I was born by a river.
That's the Sam Cooke song. I was trying to say something.
All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. We'll continue this discussion of Ralph Bakshi, the animator from the 70s, who did the Fritz the Cat series and also attempted, I believe, Lord of the Rings. It blew. I watched it. I was in a theater. I even took a handful of mushroom. I'm kidding. No, I didn't.
You just said you did, Mr. Andy. You'll never be able to take it back.
I didn't. I'm taking it back because I didn't do that. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Did a handful of mushroom, man. Made it a mushroom tea.
Yeah, you'll never be able to take it back. Bullcrap. Bullcrap.
Phil Henry.
That's where they grow mushrooms.